A reading is 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. Luckily it's short. I can handle it.
So are you.
Ooh. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete.
Would you get beaten?
Interesting.
Interesting. I remember you're mic'd up.
Yeah, I'll get that going here. Okay, I'm going to put that right up here. And now you're not going to be sure which person is more silly looking, me or that fella. Okay, we got the mic going, and I got to get my notes here. Well, I don't come to you with, is this necessary?
No.
Okay. I don't come to you with any real preacher training, and I'm not a PhD in religion, haven't been to college for any of that stuff. And yet there is something that I want to get across to you that I feel very deeply about, because I have a PhD in having gone through this.
Yeah.
So if you want to know things about stressing out and anxiety and anger and all these mental issues and trying to wrestle with your own mind, maybe I can give you a few pointers in how to get through that problem. And I think that probably they're, I see the faces here, and they're old enough to know that I probably don't even need to be telling them a lot of these things. But nonetheless, I will just bare my soul a little bit so that you can appreciate where I'm coming from, that I do know what I'm talking about. From 1997 to about 2012 was probably one of the most difficult times of my life. I had a business partner that I got in with, and they were supposedly Christians. And yet they took me to the cleaners like you wouldn't believe, at least $30,000. I can't even calculate how much it might have been. And during that time, they took others that I saw for way more. I know of two or three that they got them for $100,000. And I was in business with these people, living right next door to them. It was all a big real estate situation. And then at the same time, the company, the insurance company that I worked for, I was a property and casualty agent. They really changed. They were bought out by another company, and the whole top management changed, their philosophy changed, and now they're threatening to cancel all kinds of agents, never mind what our contract said. Their attitude was, well, take us to court, see if you can outspend us, even though we had their own statements in sworn testimony that opposed what they were doing. So I'm worried about, was worried about, you know, am I going to have a living? Now, all of this was happening at the same time. And then on top of that, I won't get into the details, but I got contrary with the IRS, had to go to court eventually. Audit, all that stuff. And let me tell you, short of it is, you know, when Guido comes through the neighborhood looking for his insurance payment, you better pay him, because he has a gun. It doesn't matter what your position is, what your law, what the law that is backing you up says. So just a tremendous amount of worry. To the extent that I was, and I was never at this point, don't think that, But I suddenly realized I know how it feels to want to take your life because you just have no hope. You think your future is in the tank. And what am I going to do? Everything is caving in on me. Well, I didn't do that. I had a saying that kind of got me through, humorous saying that, yeah, they can do this and that, but in the end, they can't eat you. And that's just about what it felt like. So, what we're going to be talking about is how to control your mind. It's your biggest asset, and yet it's your biggest enemy very often. Look, an antelope is crossing the savannah out in Africa, and he's out in the wild. Nobody's looking out for him, but he doesn't toss and turn in bed worrying about the lions that are out there. It's really an interesting thing to watch antelopes and wild animals. They don't worry about a job that they might get fired from. Their job is just going around eating grass, and they don't even worry if a lion is stalking them. If you watch these nature shows, the antelope is, yeah, he's munching away, and he looks up and looks around. Yeah, there's some lions over there, but they're not close enough to get me. So he goes back to eating, waiting for his, depending on his buddies to keep watch. And they alternate that way. Well, when the lion gets too close, they take off, they run. But no stress, it's just they recognize it's time to run. And guess what? When they get out of range of that lion, they go back to eating. They don't worry about it. And they don't worry about how to pay off a big credit card. Only humans worry. We are unique in that. We are the ones who imagine threats. Not only see a threat, we imagine a threat that's not even there. And we have this constant low-grade fight or flight thinking that keeps us stressed out. We're threatened all the time by things that haven't happened and may never happen. But we can't go to sleep at night because we're worrying about the, oh man, what if this happens? And that we just see it coming. There's a fellow named Robert Sapolsky. He is a neuroendocrinologist, whatever that is, but he's a big time scientist and a primatologist and a strident atheist. And yet he sees some of the truth in this subject. He has a book out called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And he says, okay, so you've got two humans. They're taking part in a human ritual. They're sitting there silently, making no eye contact. They're still, except every now and then, one of them does nothing more taxing than lifting an arm and pushing a little piece of wood. And if it's the right wood and the right chess grandmasters in a tournament, they are going through 6 to 7,000 calories a day. Thinking, turning on a massive physiological stress response simply with thought. And it does the same things to their bodies as if they were baboons who must rip open the stomach of their worst rival. And it's all with thought, memories and emotions. Boy, does that sound familiar. Laying in bed thinking about things and your guts are just being torn apart. And it's curious. I read that and I thought, boy, I'll go out and spend $20, $30, or whatever this guy charges for his book to read about this very sophisticated PhD opinion. And yet, if we can't find the wisdom in a 20-year-old, a young kid, I say kid, relative to my age of 77, this kid's a 30-year-old who said 2,000 years ago, don't worry about your life. what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? That's Matthew 6:25. Now look, good stress is good. You know, it does have a place. It makes us run from a threat, just like that antelope. It lengthens our lives by avoiding danger. But being anxious for no reason, that ages us. If you, they say if you look at the DNA of a nervous person, his DNA looks aged. There are choices to be made whether we're going to be anxious or not. Choose it, whether you'll be anxious. And I've had anxious statements come upon me, usually by a member of my family, mainly my wife. Here's one. Boy, I still remember this. She would just look at me with this look like, oh, I don't want to tell him this. I'm pregnant. And after six kids, you can pretty well guess the stress that would place on a provider. Or I wrecked the car. Well, were you hurt? No, but I wrecked the car. No big deal. Quit stressing. And here's one of late for probably many of us. Here it is for me. The stock market is crashing. That definitely can bring a stress to you when that's a lot of your income. But these are reactive choices. It's a cycle of defeatist thinking that we get into with anxiety. And we mentally replay negative situations. It's like hypnosis. If you're a person that says, I'm just not that smart. I don't think that well. You're so much smarter than I am. Well, guess what? You've hypnotically been telling yourself over and over and over, I can never play a musical instrument. It can be all kinds of things, from very critical to no big deal. But if you tell yourself these things over and over, that's what you are. What does the scripture say? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. It's amazing how the scripture has preceded all these scientists who came up with the same answers. What does Philippians 4:8-9 say? Finally, brethren, here's what you do with your mind. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, all the positives, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Reinforce the positives. I've talked about this before in a previous sermon, but in 2009, there was a German billionaire. Now, I can't imagine having at least $1 billion in my bank account, much less some of these guys have so much that money literally means nothing to them. But this fellow, he was a billionaire, and to make a long story short, things went south financially for him. And now he's faced with all his empire is crashing. And now he's thinking, oh, this is terrible. I'm going to have to live in a $250,000 house. I'm not going to be able to go to the country club anymore. All of my rich friends will just abandon me. Whatever negative thoughts this fellow had. So he goes out and he steps in front of a train and ends his life. Do you see how rich you are in Christ? With the thoughts that you have. And if there, again, I've told you a little about the stresses that I went through. I told you that preface so that you can understand and hopefully listen to me. I've come through this. It's all in the past. Yay. I don't have to worry like I was then. And boy, I was full of worry. I had to go through this to learn not to go through this. But I tell you again, this fellow ended his life. Now, I was never at that point, but I understand this man. Stresses can be just so crippling. Look, David was a king. He lived in a palace. He had all kinds of slaves and servants and whatever. He had it made. He was this German industrialist with $1 billion. It says in 1 Chronicles 22:14, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and of bronze and iron without weight. This was one rich cat. He had everything you could imagine. Now, I penciled it out, and it's not accurate because we don't always know what a talent was in weight. But it's estimated, and what David's, now this is just his temple donation. It's not what he kept for himself. Just his temple donation in today's money was $320 billion. That's how rich he was. Now, even if you have that, or cut it into quarters and just kept one quarter, that's still a big, big donation. And yet, when David fled from Absalom, we read of this in 2 Samuel 15, there was a fellow named Ittai. He was a foreigner. And he's, now David's on the run. He's leaving Jerusalem right as the verse is happening. And he's hightailing out because Absalom is out to kill him. And so he's going out of town, and this fellow named Ittai is following him. And David turns around and he says, "What, Ittai, what are you following me for? I don't even know where I'm going." Now, can you imagine falling that far, where you gave away $320 billion, and now you're saying, man, I'm on the run. I don't have a home. I don't even know where I'm going. Talk about a real cause for depression. He says in Psalm 77, 1 and 2, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. Well, David, that's a choice. You call out to God, and yet you won't be comforted? And don't we do that? How many times have you been in stress? I've been where I just get down on my knees and call out to God. And yet, somehow, some way, I would not be comforted. And for 12, 15 years, whatever it was, that's the way it was with me. Look, we talk about this. Do we really mean it? We say, be humble before God. Trust the Lord. Do we really do it? Come on. I haven't. It means to relax. Just calm down. Here's your faith meter. We hold on to worry because we don't trust God enough. So if you catch yourself worrying, you just realize you're not believing God enough. And this many, many, many statements that he has left for us in scriptures, so many, I'm not going to quote them all here. That's your homework assignment. If you got worry in your life, or even if you don't, get that computer Bible program going and start looking for those verses where God says he's comforting you. Don't worry. Relax. Take it easy. I got it. And it's such a paradox, life with anxiety. We cry out for help, but we refuse to be comforted. Our hearts race, our palms sweat. The world is closing in on me, but we don't believe God enough when he says, we've got it. And that insecurity leads to allowing a feel or a feeling of being threatened because we don't believe God enough. So what's the cure? The admonitions that we read in Scripture and our friends tell us, you know, and pat our back when they see that we're so troubled. What else can they do but try to comfort you? That's rarely enough to go through that, to work. So research, rehearse the passages for such. Do it before the problem comes on you. Make it part of your life now. Learn how to control your mind. That's one of the capital pillars of this sermon. Learn how to control your mind, and only you can. Your friend can't do it for you. Your preacher can't do it for you. A counselor can't do it for you, although they're all skilled in helping you. Ultimately, the decision is yours, and you have to understand how all of this works. Your mind is not you. Now, that may seem contradictory. What's he saying? No. This gray matter up here, that is not you. This thing up here only does one thing, and God engineered it this way. This is its job, its only job, to create thoughts. That's all it does, create thoughts. A thought is not you. If you have a lusty thought, it's not you. Let's say you go up and you turn the TV set on and boom, right in front of you, there's this beautiful couple and they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. Your brain is going to react to that. It's going to create thoughts. And on that one, because we're geared this way, it's creating a bunch of thoughts. The key is whether you accept it or not. You remember Dan Aykroyd and Ghostbusters? And the four guys are up on that big, tall skyscraper. And Bill Murray says, okay, we got to clear our minds. Don't think of anything. Empty your mind out. And then all of a sudden, there's that marshmallow guy coming down the street, crushing buildings. And Dan Aykroyd is looking real guilty. Oh, it just came in my mind. I couldn't help it. Well, that's what I'm talking about. He just got a thought. It wasn't that he wanted it. He just got a thought. And in James 1:14-15, it says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Okay, now lust is one of those neutral words. We see that and we think it's negative, evil. No, I can lust after righteousness. I can lust after my wife. That's totally appropriate. But lust is a thought. Okay, so each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust, a thought. When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. That's when you accept that thought. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's where the condemnation is. Our mind creates a negative thought. Okay, so what do? If it's constant, negative thought, negative thought, negative, we say, I'm a negative person. No, stop thinking that right then and there. Start correcting. Look, picture this. You have this giant parking lot. it'll accept 85,000 cars a day. They're out on the freeway. Zoom, 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 zoom. Those are the thoughts going through your mind. Okay? But you're the master of that parking lot up here. You only let in the thoughts, the cars that you want. Okay? Now you may let in a bad one and it'll sit over there out of sight. Nobody knows about it and it will fester. And that's called sin, but you accepted it. On the other hand, you banish it. You say, no, you're not in my parking lot, buddy. Get out of here. That's the opposite of, and that is the way that we want to go. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 again says, dwell on these things. So don't accept it into your mind, into your parking lot. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God and taking every thought captive. That's just what is being done in that analogy of the parking lot. Take it captive, throw it out. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over that parking lot. But how can I watch over that if I think that my thoughts are me? So I turn the TV on, I see that lusty thought. I had those thoughts. I'm so sinful. I'm so, no, you're not. Your mind is just reacting to what's around it. But whether you accept it is another thing. Yeah. I'm the watcher. So we strive to not worry, to not become angry, to lose control of it, to not lust, to not envy. All of those things are negative thoughts that we don't want in our parking lot. David the anxious replaced negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Psalms 94:19, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. The anxiety was great. I thought about you. And you consoled me. David had experienced past rescue. Okay. And that's what he was thinking about. Okay. Oh man, I got this terrible problem. But hey, I remember when Dave, when God helped me kill Goliath, he's going to come through for me. So what's going on? Me running from Absalom? Eh, it'll work out. God's with me. Do you have times of past rescue where you thought something is just going to crash down around your head and it worked itself out? Maybe you walked away with some scars, but you're wiser and you're happy again. You got the peace with you again. And instead of thinking back on past rescue, some people will choose instead to think a negative way. It's always me. It always happens to me. Just my luck. Well, yeah, then it is kind of, it's going to be that way. Every time something adverse happens, you're going to reinforce that in your head. Get out of that habit. You have to practice being secure. Look for the good. Let go of what you can't change. You can't control, you can't predict. And it's mind over matter, truly. It's like the humorous say statement on that. I'm sure you've heard it, where if you don't mind, it don't matter. It's as simple as that. Here's the brain operator's manual, Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Again, instead of the negatives, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, all these positive things that he mentions, meditate on those things. Don't have stinking thinking. Don't think on the past negatives, the disasters that have happened to you, or your thoughts of the time, it's always me. Think on the positives. And this is not just thinking, it's doing. Something that I noticed, not, you know, in the general recent past, that I don't like the movies that I used to be interested in. Why is that? Because it's so much violence, so much evil. Even you don't even like the leading good guy, so-called good guy. He's a creep too. You wish the bad guys would finish him off, and then he'd finish them off at the same time you could get out of there. I can't even stand those movies anymore. And I think it's a reaction to trying to be more and more positive, to where I'm just not interested in all of these negative things that you see in the movies. These, I'm not, granted, there are movies that are quite entertaining. You know, the movie Poltergeist or Boogeyman. Those are scary movies, but they're fun scary, in my opinion. But then you know what I'm talking about when I say the whole long list of just bad movies, just negative, unhappy thinking. Okay, so the question, do you believe the Bible? Well, yeah, everybody's nodding their head. Then believe it.
Yeah.
Believe it. Rehearse it. Don't doubt it. And here we have that picture, which of Alfred E. Newman, the What Me Worry guy. And I can remember being a kid and reading that, and it was funny. And you just see this silly picture of a silly character. But really, he's speaking a lot of truth. You know, Rod knows me. I love dogs. And why do I love dogs? Because they're kind of like Alfred E. Newman. They're just dumb little beast, but they're always so positive and they're happy and they don't worry where their next bowl of food is coming. They trust their master to get it there for them. I don't know how many times I've had my dog come jump up in my lap and just look at me until I go feeding. And does that please me? Absolutely. Positive things. That's what we need to, be concerned with. Let's see, where was I? Okay. Another side subject that's connected to all of this is you have to let go of your anger. Not only let go of worry, let go of your anger. They're twins. Yes, you were attacked unrighteously. We all have been. You have to let go of being, quote, justifiably angry. Mm-hmm. Matters that you can't change anyway, you have to trust God, who can handle that situation. He can be angry for you. Job 35:14. Yet justice is before him. Which is to say, God's looking it over. He knows about it. And you must wait for him. Don't go running out taking your own vengeance. Don't go out inflating your anger. You know, when you do that, you just create more situations within the overall problem that you can be angry about. So now you have a shouting match with this person on top of what he did to you. And now you got to think about that. That's in your mind. That's what you're dreaming about. Let it go. Micah 7:7. Therefore, I will look to the Lord as a judge. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Take it to God in prayer. Say, look, this is what happened. You know already. Would you please handle this? Handle it in the best way for all parties. Are you drowning in debt? That's a big one with all of us. Trust God. Boy, I could tell you all kinds of stories about that one. Did you lose your job? I could tell you stories about that. The answer is trust God. Do you believe in God? That's a challenging question. Do you believe in God? Then trust Him. That's what it means. Don't worry about justice. Forgive and forget. Get it out of your life. We think of the Hollywood folk, the beautiful people. Those are the ones that we kind of automatically envy, look up to. They're so secure in their fame and their money and their looks. Let me tell you, as you know already, I don't have to tell you, they are a legion of insecure personalities. They are wrecks. And they probably, if given a chance, would trade everything they have to have what you have. Just to go home, watch TV, read a book, but peace, quiet. They have so much in the way of false fronts. And we think of politicians being secure in their power. Let me tell you, those people are constantly, you talk about the antelope worried about the lions. These people are always looking over their shoulder for the next attack on them. Constant criticism. They're ambushed. They're lied about daily by opponents. So you just flip the TV on and see it. It's happening all the time. And these people, we think the beautiful people in quote marks, are secure in the admiration we give them. They live with their beauty and money fading like wax melting in the sun. Divorces, bankruptcies, mental crises, addictions, immaturity, outburst of anger. They're thinking, we look at it, and more than the average population, we think, how can you even think that? That doesn't even make sense. Why are you doing this? So let's suppose I know we all do this. I think of myself with a 20-year-old buff body and so wise and so good looking and money and educated and, so expert in martial arts, special forces, a real hero, a superstar in sports, just lay on anything you want. Married to a beautiful mate. I speak 20 languages. I'm so smart. With celebrity friends. Here's a question, though. Would that cure your insecurity? Because you never have enough. Yeah, I speak 20 languages, but I don't know what this guy is saying. I need 21. That's the way we are. And everybody has a degree of insecurity. We have to control it, capture it. So would it cure your insecurity to be this way? Nope, not a chance. You haven't learned to let go. You're never going to overcome stress and faults. Why is that? Because wherever you go, there you are. It's you. If you don't stop and control these things in your mind, take control of that parking lot. Keep the negative thoughts out. Let the positives one in, free of charge, live there forever. If you don't do that, you're always going to be insecure. Even Christian leaders who they have the formula right in front of them, they rarely get it right. Nobody's perfect on this. Letting go is the cure, not what you possess in wealth and talents and skills and in all these things that we want to accumulate. So let go. What I say? Do you believe in God? Yeah, you're shaking your head. Okay, trust Him. He will take care of these problems. Drop the righteous anger And boy, can we come up with righteous anger. Boy, that guy did me wrong. And I, oh, and you're the one losing sleep. He doesn't care. And he owns you. You're his slave as long as you hang on to that anger. Just drop the righteous anger. It just leads to mental anguish. Stop counting your enemies. Practice giving back good for evil. So be an antelope. We'll get back to that example. Be an antelope. You run when necessary, and otherwise, forget it. Lion's out of your off your radar screen. Okay, everything's fine. If he comes on your radar screen, well, how far away? I got another 5 minutes. Don't worry about it. You know when to run. Quit counting your money or lack thereof, or if a job is going to be there tomorrow. Now, that's one of the big things that probably has happened to most of us. Got to have employment to keep things going. Well, God already knows your problem. Today he's going to lose the job. I better plan something out here for him. But I'll test him, see if he's going to stress out in the meantime. God is teaching us through our problems, but all of this is lifelong practice. Quit counting your money or lack thereof, or if that job is going to be there tomorrow. God knows, and he's already laid out the path to get through this. You write down the passages on anxiety. Get yourself a little diary just for that purpose. You write out all the verses that have to do with anxiety and trusting in God. And you let those passages calm you down. You read them constantly. That's letting those positive thoughts into your parking lot. It's not enough to just read these things in our daily readings. Sometimes you got to put it under a microscope. You got to put concrete around. I want to own that verse. That's why you put it into a specialty diary. And it's repetition, repetition, repetition. When I was going through my stress, Daryl Bean, if you know him, preacher now on the east side of the mountains, he did a series on this very thing. And I was so impressed with what he had to say. He's a licensed counselor now, by the way. But I took his lessons and I took out the parts that really impressed me, and I condensed it down into an hour-long tape sermon, just like I'm doing here. So I'm talking to myself. Okay, it was just for me. And it took me about an hour to drive to work and then an hour back. And I would listen to that thing every day in the midst of my problems. And I bring that up to just repeat this idea. It's repetition. You can't just listen to this sermon and think you're solved. It doesn't work that way. If you're serious about this, if you are in stress or de-stress, you have to build on this. You have to practice it. You have to come to trust God by repetition and practice. David often said that God calmed him. Anxiety works to defeat you. If you let it in your parking lot, it's going to beat you. It leads to no trust in God. So you pray, you practice, literally breathing for peace in your life. Rest, calm, hope. Dwell on these positives. David said, and here again, nice verse, sounds poetic. Oh, yeah, I read that. That's good. No, write it down. Read it daily. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Psalms 55:22. That's a verse that is giving you the recipe out of this problem. You believe in God? I keep asking you that. Do you believe in God? Then trust him. Trust the verse. This situation, this problem that you have, is your practice field. He's letting you experience the pain and stress of a real problem. Why? So you can trust in him, and when you see it come out all right, that means you believe in him. You pursued the course. So practice. We've come to the end of this lesson, but I just want to say, I'm not going to go on here. There are practical therapies that can help you in mental distress, whatever your problem is. If you've got something going on right now that you need some real serious help, come see me afterwards. I have one where my brother was a raging drunk, smoked about 2 to 3 packs a day. He quit in one day. My son has a drinking problem. He isn't quite as dramatic in the resolution, but what he has did is effective. It happened relatively very quick, and if he is continuing to be strong, and all of this affects your spiritual life very quickly. You know, you can't be a drunkard and be in God, and but there are many other situations where people need this extra help. And if you have any need like that, come and see me. I'm here for you. And I'm sure that Rod has his own stories that he could help you with. You know, your Christian brothers, we've got a lot of experience between us. And you may look at us and say, well, he's not a preacher. You know, he hasn't been professional. Well, I look at the old faces in here. No, we're all professional. Yeah. We've all had these problems. So if there's anything that can be done, we're willing to help you out. So with that, if there's anything that we can do to help you, if you need help or you need to obey the gospel, Rod, I'll leave it up to you.